Okay, so we're up to Sif Hei and Vav. And as we mentioned before, there are these three shilas in the Ravid, and which the Shulchan Aruch discusses in these Si'ifim. So we already saw last time the case of a woman who has, we'll give this simpler permutation, she has a Vesa sometime between 559 and 601. She's just unsure. They arrived at a couple of options and concluded that we could be Makel and treat the day as her Vesas, and the nighttime would be okay, even though it might have started at night, because Vesas are Drabanan. Okay, the next Shiloh he has is a woman who has a Re'iyah Meruba from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. That's an example. And he has three options over here as to what the din is. And I'll just tell you case three, and then we'll go back and analyze them, but for purposes of comparison. So that's case two. Again, case one is 5:59 to 6:01, some point at that time. Case two, 5:30 to 6:30, with Nate's Hanates being at 6 o'clock. And case three is a extended Re'iyah that goes on for 3, 4, or 5 days, which is her Vesas. So, is it the beginning? Is it the whole one? And the like. So he has several options for that as well. So let's go back to case two. So case two, like we said, Re'iyah Meruba from 5:30 to 6:30. So option A, the right, that says maybe she should be Asura Belaila Uvayom. In other words, the entire Ona of the Haschala, which would be night, as well as the entire Ona of the Hemshech, which would be the entire day. Now, not obviously, if you hold in regarding case three that she has to treat all 4 days as her Ona, so then obviously it's pretty intuitive that here too she would do it. But it's also clear from the Ravid that he thinks that it's possible that even if when it comes to the extended Re'iyah, case three, you would only be concerned about the Haschala. But here, maybe you have to be concerned about both the Laila and the day. Why would that be? Why would you say that if it's a extended Re'iyah, you only have to worry about the Haschala, but here you have to worry about both? The answer is, it would seem, that over there, we know, or there's at least it would seem to us, well, the opinion that says you only have to worry about the Haschala assumes that we know what the Haschala is. If it's a 4 day Hemshech of the Re'iyah, the Haschala is day one, Ona one. But over here, since it's this Re'iyah Meruba from 5:30 to 6:30, we'll say that the entire thing is the Haschala. So over there, maybe we're Makel, because we'll say that since the Haschala has passed, and she didn't see, so we there's no reason to expect it to come now. But over here, since the Haschala, let's say if she just kept the night Vesas, well, the Haschala hasn't passed because the Haschala was entirely from 5:30 to 6:30. So there we have to be Machmir. So that is the first tzad. We'll call that 2A. 2A is that she has to worry about the Ona of the Haschala. And here, because it's Re'iyah Meruba, the Haschala is both extended from night to day, so she has to do both. Option B, the Ravid says, is no Basar Tchilas HaVeses Azlinan. And therefore, she's only Asura Balayla, because that is the Haschalas HaVeses. Now, obviously, well, let's say this shot, what we'll call 2B, is equivalent to 3A, right? Not only in an extended period of time do you only have to worry about the Haschala, but even in this Re'iyah Meruba part, you only have to worry about the Haschala, okay? And then he says the third option, which is, Eina Asura Ela Onas Halayla, Vishar HaVeses Belvad. Her Veses is a funny one, will be the entire Laila, as well as the first half hour of the day. So since the Re'iyah was from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. So the entire night will be Aser, because that's the Haschala, and there we have the whole Ona, but also the first half hour of the day. Now, I should point out that this is the way the Torah and Beis Yosef understand this, that this is a third view. In other words, there's A, the entire day, entire night, not entire day, B, just the night, and C, entire night plus the first half hour of the day. When you read the Rashba, you could think that this is actually the second option. It's not three options, but we'll just read it for now, like the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. This is a third option, in a sense like a pshara, right? In a sense like a pshara. So that is the halacha. As I said, that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. It's conceptually more similar to, I'll leave that for now. So why is this different than case three, where it goes on for several days? The answer is, like we said, because here it's the entire Tchilas HaVeses. So why then isn't the whole night and whole day? The answer is that we accept Rabbi Yehuda's Chumrah that to Aser the entire Ona, even though the Veses is only on, let's say, a half hour of the Ona. So the Veses, the nighttime Veses, was only from 5:30 to 6 a.m., but we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that therefore the whole night is Asura. But we only accept Rabbi Yehuda's Chumrah extension once. So therefore, we accept the extension once, and therefore the entire night is Asura. But in terms of the day, we don't have to go, since the Veses is only for part of the day, namely from 6 to 6:30 a.m., so therefore we don't have to extend it to the entire day. It's sufficient to just say 6 to 6:30 is Asura. Right? We don't, Yudas Chumra only applies once, as it were. That's what the Ravid says about the case of the Maria Maruba that extends from night to day. Okay, then, as I said, then we have case three. Case three is a long Ria, 4 or 5 days, let's say. It's Midalafes She'ena Kishofas. So that's going to be significant, as we'll see in a moment. So she sees, let's say, from day 20 to day 24. So what's the din over here? So option one, the Ravid says, is, okay, just day 20 is her Veses Kavua, but we're not going to discount days 21, 22, 23, 24, but we're also going to pay special attention to the Haschala. We'll say day 20 is a Veses Kavua, and day 21, 22, 23, 24 are like a Veses She'eino Kavua. Option two, we'll call it 3B, is day 20 is there only Veses. We only look at the Haschala. And this is, in fact, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Raman, the end of Simen Kuf Peites, the end of Sif Yud Gimel and Kuf Peites. That's the halacha that we follow. We only look at the Hemshech. The Ravid, though, still has some other options. He himself doesn't prefer this option. The third option, 3C, is day 20 through 24 are all of Veses Kavua. But why? Why is day 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24? So he says a very simple logic. If you remember back in Kuf Pei Gimel, we saw that what's the reason why we keep Shemini Kiyum nowadays under all circumstances? Because we're not 100% sure which days are Yemei Nida and which days are Yemei Ziva. That's at least one of the reasons, also because we're not sure what's really read. So maybe, let's say she sees from day 20 to 24, but maybe day 20, 21 were not really read. So therefore, her real Veses is 22. Or maybe days 20, 21, 22, 23 were from her Yemei Ziva. And as we'll see a little later, you're only Kovas Veses Medina from Yemei Nida. And we don't know what's what. And therefore, yes, this option is really only concerned about the Haschala as well, just like the previous option. But the point is, we're not sure which one is the Haschala. And maybe Haschala's day three, and especially because it's just Medel Efes. It's not kishofas. In other words, we could therefore see day 21 as something new. It's not like straight 20, 21, 22, whereby like the re'i on day 22 is clearly a hamshech of the re'i on day 21. No, maybe it's something new. It's just, so day 20 is just, that was, let's say, dam tahor, or that was dam b'yemei nida, and therefore doesn't create, b'yemei ziva, and therefore doesn't create a vesas, and the subsequent case is due. Now, so that's what we're going to call 3C. The Ravid rejects these chashos. We're not choshesh for that, even though we are choshesh for these concerns, let's say, in terms of the creation of Shiva Nekiyim. But here, where it started earlier, we don't say, oh, well, this is something new. So he's not worried about that. But he does accept this view for a practical reason, or for, we'll say, a different reason. So he accepts the view that day 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 could all create a vesas kavua, though not because of this cheshbon. It's really because, actually, it's not the pshat that each day is a new thing and we'll pretend the old ones didn't exist, but actually she has a vesas kavua for the hemshech of those, let's say, 5 days, right? And he gives a couple options here. Call this 3D Aleph. She calls man meshech riyasa chashiv hakol ka'ona achas. And then even here, there's two possibilities of how to understand that. Take a look at the Baal Mor. Or the second possibility is mipnei shehu davar hamatzui b'rov nashim she mishanos is vestan lahakdim shlosha yamim o l'achar shlosha yamim v'achar kachozras l'mekoman. This might be very similar to the Yimei Nevucha that we talked about last time, except we don't accept that in this case, because as I said, we paskin by the Trila. Now, there is another position, and the Ravid accepts this. The Ravid thinks that this is correct. He's somewhat unsure, but this is his netia. The Ramban also thinks that you have to treat all those days, 20 through 24, as her vases kavua. Though he has, for a different reason. So even though the Torah puts together the Ravid and the Ramban, it's for different reasons, and we'll see, actually, there might be some nafkaminas, Kuf Pei Tes especially. The Ravid says that the pshat is that we see kol yom v'yom kevases b'fnei atzmo. In other words, as she has, in that case, 4 vestos, day 20, day 21, day 22, day 23, and 24. Each one as an independent veses, as opposed to the Ravid, who, let's say, in his latter version, says it's davram, she has one veses, it's just sometimes it's mishana a little earlier, sometimes a little later. And again, we'll see why there could be nafkaminas. Okay, so as I said before, the Rush, the Baal Amor, reject the conclusion of the Ravid and the Ramban, and they say we only are worried about the Haschalas Havasas, and that is the way we paskin. Otherwise, things would get really complicated. Okay, but then we're left with a different question, because we also paskin, we do paskin like the conclusion of the Ravid in case two. In other words, in the case where it goes from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., then we say the whole night is aser, and also the day until 6:30. In other words, over there, we don't just go by the haschala. Whereas in case three, where it's nimshach for several days, we do go by the haschala, and we discount everything else. So what's the difference between these two? So if you look at the lashon of the Torah, he sort of says two chilukim, which gets confusing. Are they both true? Is one ikker? The Bach emphasizes that the difference between case two and case three is that case two is a riyya meruba, like we saw, as opposed to case three, which, you know, it sputters along for several days, but it's not a riyya meruba. So when it's a riyya meruba, that's when we're choshish for the entire owner at the beginning of the Riyah Merubah and the Hamshech of the Riyah Merubah up till the next day. In theory, if you had a Riyah Merubah for 4 days, then yeah, you'd have to be Choshesh for the entire 4 days, except not the end of the fourth day. But that would be impossible. She would die of blood loss, probably. But that's the difference. Is it Merubah or not? Okay, it might be a little hard to figure out how to define Merubah, but that's the Bach's emphasis. The Prisha is madgish that it's a zman muat. In other words, when it's over a short period of time, then we could see this as a haschala that's extended over the course of an hour, 5:30 to 6:30. Whereas there's no way to look at something that goes on for 3-4 days as an extended haschala. Again, here too, not so clear how you define a length in terms of zman muad versus an extended period of time. The Mechaber does not mention Merubah, which makes you think that the Mechaber really is accepting the reading of the Prisha, not the Bach. And you also see this in Sivvav, maybe, where he says, Shtaim o shloshi yamim sheshofas omid al efes. In other words, he's makel against the Ravid even by shofas for 2 or 3 days, which again would suggest that the difference is not so much amount, but really, period of time. Even though obviously shofas over there doesn't mean like mamish shofas the whole time, because like I mentioned, the Gemara Nida Daf Yudamid Beis says that you would die of blood loss for like real shofas for 3 days. But nevertheless, the Mechaber seems to emphasize not so much the amount, but the time. But the Shach brings down both of these chashashos. So therefore the Shach thinks that either one, I suppose, would be enough to have the chumrah of extending it beyond the single owner. The Taz doesn't like this chiluk of, between case 2 and case 3. He says, yes, and a mechaber, how did he know to be mechalik? It's a little strange because the Rosh was mechalik that way. Even the Ravid, who in the end of the day, it might be machmir to, extend it to day 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, but he also thinks it's a good chiluk. He's back and forth. He's not that way. It's not like he's denying the chiluk. So I wasn't so sure what why the Taz was bothered by. It's very interesting. Pesach Tshuva over here, Sifkatan Yud Beis. I think we're not going to talk about it now because it's probably, maybe we'll get back to it. It's not that Lamaisa because of the Ha'ara that the Aruch HaShulchan makes. So we'll leave it. Okay. So let's turn to Sif Zion. Sif Zion, we're also not going to do so much now because we're going to, I think it makes more sense to do it in Kuf Pei Tes, but just to spell out the basics. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that in Migia Vesta B'yamei Ibura, so then she's Becheskes Mesuwakes, she doesn't have to worry about Dan. However, Muberes is only Mishahoka Ubra, which is 3 months. And likewise, Bimei Menikasa, she is Becheskes Mesuwakes Damin, which means she doesn't have to worry about her old Vestos during her Yimei Hanaka. And how long are Yimei Hanaka? 24 months. And the Shulchan Aruch says 24 months from the birth of the baby. And even if she's not practically nursing, in other words, even if the baby dies, still, she has 24 months that she doesn't have to worry about the Vestos. Why is it? What do you mean? Shouldn't it be totally in nursing? We know nursing prevents menstruation. Why 24 months? So this is a Gemara on Daf Tes. Reb Meir and Rabbanan argue. What's the reason why Menika is Daishaita? And the Halach is like the Rabbanan, that Afilu Gamalto, Afilu Meis Daishaita. And the reason is, because, as Rashi explains over there, "Mipnei she'ena tam toli binikas avlad, ela mitoch tsar leida evareha misparkim, v'dama mistalekas v'enu chozer, ad chavta aled chodesh, lo shna meis, lo shna chai." Now, there's a trauma of delivery to her body prevents her vasas from returning for 24 months. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Pesachei Tshuva both point out over here that there seems to be a contradiction between here and Siman Kuf Pei Tes Sif Yud Gimel, because over there, it sounds like he's saying that you do have to be Choshesh once she sees Dam. In other words, let's say she's a Menika, and then she gets a period after whatever, 4 months. So then she does have to keep her Vases at that point. It's just she doesn't have to be Choshesh for her old Vestos from before she was pregnant. And not only that, but if you look at Kuf Pei Tes Yud Gimel, it sounds like if she sees three times, she does have a Vases, Vashenu Kavua, not like the Marshal quoted by the Shach over here. So we will get back to these questions in Kuf Pei Tes. The brief answer is yes. Over here, we're not saying that she doesn't have to keep a Vashenu Kavua. It's just not a dine vases kavua, and especially from her old vestals. But again, I think it makes more sense to do it kuf pei tes. We'll also talk about, at that point, how these dinim come up. Lamaisa, both for meubaris and menika, the metzias changed from what was typical in the days of the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch to nowadays. Nowadays, first of all, women stop menstruating immediately upon getting pregnant. That's usually how they figure out they're pregnant, as opposed to waiting 3 months. And then it's also nowadays women start menstruating again well before 2 years, and certainly if they stopped nursing. So we'll deal with the halacha l'maaseh aspects when we get back to this in Kuf Pei Tes. I'll just point out one interesting thing. In the standard Girsa of the Shach, it says that Chodesh Me'uber is included. In other words, you have 2 years, even if it's 25 months, even if it's an Oberyar. But that's the incorrect Girsa. And we paskin, it's 24 months, not 2 years, right? Nafkamina for us, more than Vestos, because like I said, is for fasting. If you hold, like Rabbi Willig, that a Me'uberes doesn't have to fast, even if she's not nursing, so that's 2 years. So it's 2 years, it's 24 months. It's not 2 years from the birth date. In other words, if it's an uber year, then she'll still have to start fasting, you know, a month before the baby was born, if one of them was an uber year. Okay, fine.
Excuse me, are you saying the term muberis means even after childbirth?
No, Manika is 24 months after childbirth. There's two women.
Yeah, you were saying if she's Muberis, Muberis doesn't have to...
Manika. If I said Muberis, I said the wrong thing. That the din of Manika being Petura from fasting, the minor fast days, not Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, is for 24 months. And that's because the din, that's based off of this halacha, that she has a din of a Manika for 24 months. And just like this halacha is true, even if she's not actually nursing. So that din is true, even if she's not actually nursing. But that is talui in 24 months, not in 2 years. And that's the correct girsa of the Shach. Though in the standard printed editions of the Shulchan Aruch, it says the other way. But that's a incorrect girsa. Okay, turning to Sif Ches. So it's interesting. Shaila, we mentioned that certain women are misulekas dam and they don't have to worry about vestos like Muberis and Manika. So the Gemara says there's another type of woman who might not have to worry about her vestos. She's also becheskas misulekas dam. This is a woman in a cave. Why is she in a cave? Because I don't know. The enemies are conquering the city and she runs away to a cave. Hide and go seek. Right. So, but the Torah writes, nevertheless, that still chatzchila, she has to be poreish during her vases. So the Beis Yosef says, I don't understand. Where does he get this from? Because the Gemara compares this to Muberes. And the Gemara says, well, since we just established that a Muberes doesn't have to be poreish, bima vesta, so too, it would seem, that if she's in the cave, she shouldn't have to be poreish. So why does she have to do it? So the Beis Yosef says, well, maybe the answer is that it's not an absolute comparison. The comparison is, according to the Man d'Amar Vestos de Raisa, then by both of them, the machlov and the meuberes, are only mutter b'diavad if they didn't do a bedika. As normally we know, if you didn't do a bedika, we saw arach b'smanuba, she becomes a nida, even without having discovered a nida. You can't solve the problem after the vessel has passed without doing a bedika. When she's meuberes, or when she's in a cave, that's not the case. But according to the Manda Amar Vestas Lav de Oraisa, then you would have to be Poresh when she's in the cave. Why? Why is it different than Ubaris? Because we see that there are some women that ain't damehan misulakin when they're in the cave. Mashenkin Ubaris. Everybody, at least, you know, Kimad, everybody who wants Sukkah Ubra, doesn't menstruate. So therefore, since, you know, it's Kimad impossible, then you don't even have to be Poresh. But the cave, you know, it's, most women, let's say, have this condition where the fear is going to inhibit menstruation, but not all. And therefore, you have to be machmir to be poresh. But after the fact, even though you didn't do a bedika, she'll be mutaris. That's the defense of the tour. However, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't pass in that. He just says that if she's in a cave, right, it says Sefchas Haisa Nechves B'machva Mepnei Pachad V'Niya Shas Vesta Eina Choshesh Eslo. There's not even a chash at all. She doesn't have to be Poresh. Why doesn't he say that? Because as he notes in the Beis Yosef, you know, even though he defends the tour, it's a daichak reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that these two things are indeed compared, and therefore, therefore, he doesn't accept this chumra of the tour in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Rama does. Rama writes, Agav Yeshomrim, Dafka Avar Havesas V'loi Badka V'loi Rgisha Tahora V'loi Bedika Avalachatchila Sricha Bedika. So not only does the Rama say that you have to be Poresh, but Lachatchila you need a Bedika. Now, this is sort of interesting, and we're going to talk about this in other circumstances. Do we have situations where l'chatchila you need a bedika, but b'diavad if you didn't do a bedika, you're mutares? Al kapanim, where exactly did the Rama get it from? Again, the Tur did not say you need a bedika. I guess the Rama thought that, well, if l'chatchila you have to be poresh, so that means we're worried, so she should do bedika. And moreover, the Lashon of the Torah was Avar Hayom v'lo badka mutaras, which sounds like lo badka b'diavad. L'chatchila, she should do a bedika. Now, the Taz is miyashev, the position of the Rama and the Torah, in a slightly different way. Not that different from the Beis Yosef, but a little different. The Pshat is like this, that you're right. Taka, when she is petrified, she's going to be misuleka stamim. But the concern is that that if she has tashmish, so, you know, during the moments of tashmish, maybe her anxiety will let up for a little bit, and then she'll no longer be b'cheskes misulekas damnim, and she'll have a riya. So therefore, you have to do prisha. In other words, it's not like when you're pregnant, so it's not like when you have tashmishamita, you become non-pregnant. So, okay, so you don't have to worry about the riya during tashmish. But when she is, when it's the fear that's inhibiting the period, so therefore, if you have tashmish, we're afraid that's going to take it away for a moment, and then the period will come. It's a little difficult because that does explain the tour. It wouldn't explain why the Rama writes that you need to do bedika l'chatchila, meaning to say, assuming they didn't have tashmish, so then why do you need to do bedika? I guess you have to say that the Rama held al derech ha'taz that, yeah, we're always afraid that, you know, maybe for a couple of minutes during the day, her mind wandered, she wasn't, she was learning emuna bitachon, whatever it is, she wasn't afraid for a little bit of time, and therefore, since we're concerned that that might have happened, not just during tashmish, we require a bedika. Could be that Taz is just really explaining the Torah, not the Rama, kedar ko b'kodesh. But al derech, at least his havan in the Torah, that's how you'd explain the Rama. The Shema explains a little differently. He says l'chatchila you need a bedika because, again, along the lines of the way the Beis Yosef says it, chazinan de kamenashim they don't they do see Dom in the cave, and therefore again, you could ask even on the Shach, why do you have to do the bdik afterwards? Because obviously she shows she's not from those women. And I guess the answer is that for the Shach, the reason why we're telling her to do the bdik is because we want confirmation that in fact she is not from the women who are unaffected by the cave.
Fine. Question?
Yeah.
Is it Iker of being afraid or being in the cave? Let's say she's in hiding, but not in the cave.
The Iker is being afraid, but cave is presumably a sheer. In other words, we want to give something a little more tangible because being afraid is something that's very hard to quantify. So if the situation is so bad that you have to flee and live in a cave, so we'll presume that the threshold of fear has been reached such that she doesn't have to be chosheshes for vestos, lamarkadisli.
Yeah, but living in a bunker would be equivalent then.
One might argue that that is true, possibly. So a very relevant question that comes up from this relates to oral contraception. Now, there are really two questions we need to think about when it comes to taking the pill in terms of vestos. One we'll deal with now, and one we'll deal with later, I guess, in Kuf Pei Tes probably. But I'll just mention the two shilas now. The first is, when you're on the pill, does she have to worry about her old vestos? Or put it differently, when she's on the pill, is she b'cheskes mesulekes damim? That's the question we're going to discuss now, because we'll see how it's related to the cave question. The second question, which we're not going to do now, is, do you have to worry about vestos that are created due to the pill? In other words, vestos that are created due to a result of hormonal therapy. And there we're going to more or less see when we do Kuf Pei Tes. She doesn't have to do it necessarily. The question is, are we going to look at vestos? In other words, she sees, let's say she's on a, she sees 28 days apart, a flag of 28 days, three times in a row, four times in a row, five times in a row, because she's on the pill. We're not going to treat that as a vestos because if she were to stop taking the pill. There's an interesting question. Would we look at this as a vasus akfitzos? Because the pill creates the vasus. It's not really the pill that creates the vasus. It's stopping to take the pill that creates the vasus. Well, can an inaction create a vasus? That we're going to do in Kuf Pei Tes. And, you know, the question basically is let's say, you know, for three times in a row, after 48 hours after she stops taking the pill, she gets a period. Is that a vessus? Does that create, even without a formal vessus, it didn't have prisha or the like? So that's the second question. Like I said, that we'll deal with in Kuf Pei Tes when we do the sugyas of vessus akvitos, I guess we'll talk about that. But this first question relates to our question, because the first question is, what suffices to give a woman a cheskes mesulekes damim? And to put it a little differently, you know, the Gemara tells us there are certain things that make a woman mecheskes mesulekes damim, like muberes, like menika, like being in the cave. Well, what about something else? What about being on a pill? Being on a pill does make a woman mecheskes mesulekes damim. Well, does halacha recognize that chazaka? Again, for those not familiar, the way the effect of the pill basically is as follows. As long as she's on the pill, it doesn't have to be the pill. There are all sorts of other versions of these types of hormonal contraceptions. But basically, when she's on the pill, she doesn't menstruate. She doesn't get her period. Then when she stops taking the pill, let's say after 28 days, so then she'll get her period. Usually 24 hours later, 48 hours later, that's when she's going to get her period. But as long as she's on the pill, she typically won't get her period. So the question is, can we say that she's becheskes mesulekes damim for those periods of time? She doesn't have to worry about her old vestos or even her own abenudis if she decides to go on the pill for 40 days instead of 28 days or whatever it is, right? Can we say she doesn't have to worry about all vestos? That's the question we need to discuss. So remarkably, the this question, and I guess I should point out that even if we do say that you don't have to worry about it, the question is it going to be the version of Mesulekas Damim of Sif Zion or Sif Ches? Is it going to be like Me'ubares, let's say, where we say she doesn't have to worry about any vestos, not Prisha, not Bedika, not nothing? Or is it going to be the version of Mesulekas Damim of Sif Ches, of the woman in the cave, who we say that, well, Bedi Eved, if, according to Rama at least, that if she didn't do a Bedika and her vestos Pashal Mutares, right? Like, let's say, Ona Beinunis, or if she had a vestos Kavua, she would be okay. She doesn't have to do Bedika at this point. At least Bedi Eved. Or do we say, no, it's more like, so is it more like Sif Zayin or Sif Ches? Right? That's our question. So as I said, remarkably, this question, now, if you hold to the Rama, it's obviously going to be much smaller kula, because if we say it's similar to being in the cave, which, you know, intuitively you might say it is more similar to the cave in the sense that it's not, you know, a natural biological phenomenon that, you know, of being pregnant. So maybe it's more like the cave, in which case, according to the Rama, anyway, you'd have to be poresh and do a bedika. So it doesn't give you very much, unless you'd say no, that even if it's like the cave, but still remember, let's say you understand the Rama like the Taz. So the pshat in the Taz is because we're afraid that during Tashmish, you know, the fear is going to go away. Well, that's not really relevant for the pill. Or maybe even if you learn it like the Shach. If it is the case that all women while on the pill don't menstruate, so then the Rama shouldn't be relevant. So those are our questions. So as I said, quite remarkably, this question is addressed by the Radvaz. So, you know, you might have thought that the pill was invented in the 60s or something like that. Actually, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they had it. They forgot about it for a while. And then it was rediscovered. But that's what he talks about. He says, Miktas Nashim, Sheshosos Mashka, La'ake Vestan, Asara Oesrim Yom, Imasa Labaila Lavo Aleha, Afal Pishi Torah, Dave Kisamach Vestalo. So very, very interesting tshuva. And he says basically like this, Vimnista ze Hamashka Tlasi Zimni, Umaake Vesvesta, Havi Chazaka, Avikilu Nekar Vesta, Vinikba, Ostia Samashka. So we're going to actually get back to this Radvaz for question B, which we're doing now, which is the drink or the lack of drink could create a Vesas when you stop drinking, which would be equivalent to the question of maybe stopping to take a pill. So we'll get back to that later. Uvaha Pshita Shumota Lavo Ala, Aval. We could be makel and say, yeah, she's becheskes mesulekas damim as long as she's on the pill. Because remember, anyway, we're dealing with an iser derabanan. Here's where he says that if you hold vestos derabanan, precious also midrabanan. And the su, David plugged it about Ravsa, the Isur Drabanan. It's an interesting point as well. The su Darama, Rashal Shanu. I don't want to get into that. Fine. So, in the end of the day, he brings other rayos. And his conclusion is, in Nista Zu, Amashka, Zesh, Shalosh, Ba'amim, Shema'ake Vesta, Mistabra, de Mishameshes, below Bedika. Great. So, if we accept the Sudbas at the very least, then we can be makel when she's on the pill. She doesn't have to be choshashas for any vestos. But he says, you know what? You still have to, she has to be machzekes herself that the pill works for her. Again, he's not talking about the pill. He's not talking about some incredible mashka that inhibits menstruation. If you figure this mashka out, you'd be very rich. A natural birth control. Wow. But anyway, so if the mashka, you have to test it out though. In other words, We're not going to just say, well, since most women, it's effective for them, then I could assume it's going to be effective for me. And I don't have to worry about Vestos while on the pill. No, I have to actually take it out. So if you were to equate this with birth control, then we would say, yeah, after three times where she didn't menstruate when you expected her to menstruate while on the pill. So then she should be able to skip. So let's say in a more practical example, because we usually don't have Vestos Kavua. So let's say she tried three times and she passed her own abeinuness without seeing Dom while on the pill. So then she wouldn't have to worry about that going forward. That's but in the meantime, it does sound like until three times, you have to be machmir, and even sounds like you require a bedika. It's not, though, a total raya that he requires a bedika, because he's also requires a bedika kodem tashmish for women who don't have vessels anyway. So, assuming we don't hold that way. Anyway, the first, or one of the first to address this question in a modern context is the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Chaf Zayin. He doesn't quote the Radvaz, he does compare it to the cave, and therefore he says, so seemingly you'd have to be Poresh and do a Bedika even while on the pill. He concludes, maybe this is going to be better because it's more effective than the cave, but he concludes, well, we can't be lenient because we can't really trust the doctors. I'm not, you know, so sure I understand that point, because even by the cave, we acknowledge that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? Which is why the Rama says you have to be poresh. So here too, you know, we should be able to accept the doctor's statement that sometimes women will not see the pill. And we don't even need certainty. But anyway, that's what he comes out, l'chumra. The Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Kuf Gimel, quotes the Radvaz, and he says, you know what? I think the Radvaz is right and could be applied to the pill. Why do we have to ignore the Radvaz? So therefore, you would follow the Radvaz, and therefore you have to wait three times. But once you've had three times on the pill and you've shown that she is indeed Mesulekas Damim for three times, then you could be Mako. Now, there are other poskim who go further, and they say, you know what? Maybe we should even be Mako right away on the pill. Others say, even if that was true, if she's always truly B'cheskas Mesulekas Damim on the pill, but it's not true. In other words, there women, while on the pill, will occasionally have what's known as breakthrough bleeding, especially if she pushes it and she tries to go for longer. And this is more common nowadays. Used to be, meaning, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, I think. More than that, 40 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when. They were in much higher doses of the pill. And women were never having breakthrough bleeding. And therefore, Poskim said, okay, look, we could be confident with certainty that there's not going to be any dam. And therefore, she would be immediately. And even though, you know, the Radvaz says you should wait three times, that's because there was some level of uncertainty. But once we're certain, you know, and we could be very certain. But then they started lowering the doses. Now they give less, which is why you sometimes see breakthrough bleeding. It's still a high enough dose to be effective birth control, but it's a little bit lower, which is why there's sometimes breakthrough bleeding. They lowered the dose because of concerns of cancer with the higher dose. Anyway, so therefore, that is, I think, the accepted halacha, that once she shows that she is indeed Mesulekas Damim after three times, then she could continue with that assumption, like the Radvaz says. But because it isn't 100% certain, and because breakthrough bleeding isn't terribly uncommon, so therefore, you should not be made ill if it hasn't happened three times. That, I believe, is the psak of Rabbi Willig. So we're accepting the Radvaz, basically.
This would mean each time she was on the
call. No, I think once she shows herself to be, I don't think you have to be choshesh that her teva changed. Even though you're right, sometimes teva does change. I mean, her teva, in other words, as you know, different women do sometimes react differently. I don't know if you have to be choshesh for that. In other words, if she's already shown herself to be b'cheskas mesulak has done it while on the pill, assuming it's the same dosage and the like, assuming there's no reason to assume things have changed, I think that would be okay. Again, like the Radvaz, we could accept the Radvaz. I was once asked, came up, tricky Shaila, a woman who basically her vesis came out on the night of her chasana. So the question is, she did not yet, she was on medication to inhibit her period for purposes of avoiding chuppas nida, but she hadn't yet been machzekas herself three times. So what's the din in this case? So if you look at the Shevet Halevi, even though he's known to lahachmir to require three times, as I mentioned, in the Shasat Chak, he's willing to be Mako. And this is a Shasat Chak, very well have also agreed, very well said, if she's on a Jestin, you could be Mako. Why a Jestin? Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later, but a Jestin is a very effective way of preventing a period from happening. Basically, if there's never breakthrough bleeding if you take the proper dosage. In fact, I once had a Shaila, Rabbi Willig always says there's never, it's foolproof. So once somebody asked me a Shaila, she was on a Jestin and she had breakthrough bleeding. So I went back to Rabbi Willig. It's like, see? I didn't quite say it that way. He's like, check if she's on the right dose. And Chacham Adif Minavi, Kachave, she wasn't on the right dose. How does he know the right dose? He's an author of an article, like an academic medical article on this, together with Dr. Grajauer, on taking a Jestin for purposes of avoiding chuppas nida. And it's very useful that there's this article, because if you're dealing with a doctor who's not familiar with, this idea of using a Jestin for this purpose, renting a chuppas nida, non-from doctor, so you can, cite the article and peer-reviewed article, and it's and they could feel comfortable prescribing this. The reason why he prefers a Jestin is really twofold. One is, like I said, it avoids shilas because it's extremely effective. There's once a shila, one time it didn't work. I mean, it worked for a while. It was a situation where, unfortunately, they had a hard time with the Dam Basulam. So she did become Nida, but maybe. I don't want to get into details. Anyway, so Jestin is A, recommended because it's very, very effective. Basically, works without problems, whereas regular birth control oftentimes do get into shilas, like we explained. And then you have tricky chuppas nida shilas or dam shilas or whatever. And then the second reason why he prefers it is because it's not regular birth control. So there's no or less of a concern she's going to want to continue afterwards. In other words, it's common nowadays for couples to want to be on birth control at the beginning of marriage, even if only for short period of time. Ray Willig thinks that this is Asur. Be'ezrus Hashem, we're going to do the sugya of birth controls after we finish Chuppas Nida, so we'll get back to this. I don't want to get into the details now, but Ray Willig thinks that this is not a legitimate reason for birth control. To avoid Chuppas Nida, it's okay. What's the difference? We could talk about that also. There's no like heter for birth control after a couple's married. They'll say, but we're not ready to have children yet. So then I'll tell them they shouldn't get married. Why do you? You shouldn't get, don't get married until you're ready to have children. So when it's once she already has the prescription for birth control, it's more of a yetzahara to like continue a little bit. If it's a gestin, so that's not regular birth control. So that's the other reason why he prefers it. Okay, so maybe we'll get back to this again when we do Dam Besulim. Maybe, I'm not sure. But okay, so that is the birth control Shaila and the Rad Vaz. Sif Tes. So as we mentioned, we pass in Vestos and Rabbanan, and therefore, if she has a Vestos and the Vestos passes and she didn't do a Bedika on her Vestos, as she should have, she could do a Bedika now and she is Tahora. Does she even need to do Bedika now? Let's say she has a Vestos Kavua, or we'll see shortly, we treat, generally speaking, an Onabenunis as a Vestos Kavua for these types of dinim. So let's say she has a Vestos Kavua. She didn't do a Bedika during her Vestos. She should have. Everybody agrees she should have done the Bedika during her Vestos, but she didn't. She forgot. So does she have to do a Bedika now? According to Rambam and the Rif, she does not. Once the Vestos has passed, if she didn't see any dam, as far as she knows, there's no reason for the Bedika at this point in time. And therefore, she's Mutaras. Sort of like the simple reading of the Gemara, really. And that's the way the Mechaber is so same over here. However, the Rama says we pass on like the Rashba and Tosfos, and the truth is the Mechaber in Kufpei Tes Yudalid, sorry, Kufpei Tes Sif Dalid is also Machriya that way. Not clear why he's Soser himself, but the Rama paskins like the Rashba and says that no, that once the Vestos has passed, she still is Asura until she does a Medika. It's not like the Mandamar Vestos Deraisa. According to Mandamar Vestos Deraisa, she can't even do a Bedika now. Even if she did a Bedika now, she would remain Asura. We pass Kandesa to Rabbanan, so she is Mutares after she does a Bedika, but only after she does Bedika. Now, this is only true, like I said, for Vestos Kavua or Ona Beinunis. We'll talk about Bedikos for Eno Kavua in just a minute. What's the Machlokas? So, I don't know, but it could be that the question is, why do you need to do Bedika during the Vestos? If, again, we assume Vestos are Rabbanan, so the Chiyav to do Bedika during the Vestos is Rabbanan. Well, why do you need to do Bedika during the Vestos? Could be the Rambam understands that they're Misakein, that she should be Mavar if you can, Efshel Var Tachelvar. So therefore, you're right, she's not, it's not Akev, but you should, L'chatchila, you should be Mavar, so she should do Bedika, but if she didn't, so she didn't. Doing the Bedika afterwards, what's the point? Her vest is already passed. The Rashba says no. Rashba says the Pshat is, why do they say you have to do Bedika during the vest? Because we're Choshish, Shama Rasa Dam. And therefore, we have to prove that she didn't see Dam. And therefore, even once the vest is passed, she has to do Bedika now. Obviously, it should be as close to the vest as possible, because so L'chatchila on the vest, and if not on the vest, the sooner the better, because then it's going to be a better clarification. But that's sort of the question. So therefore, the way we paskin like the Rashba, the Bedika is misalik the Isser. Mashen came the Rambam, there was no Isser. The Isser was only Bishas Vases. There's a Chiyav Prisha, there's simply a Chiyav Bedika Bishas Vases. Right? That seems, might be what they're arguing about. And we'll see perhaps other ramifications of this idea as well as this Havana. In other words, we're not quite, even though we hold Vestos to Rabbanan according to the Rashba, which means we're not sure Orch Bizman Oba, but we are Choshesh to some degree, and hence, due to that Chshash, L'chatchila she do a Bdika during her Vestos, and B'diavad afterwards. Now, should point out over here, as the Ram notes, that there are some Rishonim that are Machmir. The Ram seems to paskin that if she didn't do a Bedika either on her Vestos or Tochshir Vestos of her Vestos, then she becomes a Sura afterwards. Because we paskin like Reb Zera, who holds that according to Rav, she's a Sura unless she did a Bedika, and Vestos her Del Rice, even according to Rav. And the Beis Yosef says, yeah, we're not Choshish for the Ram, it's against all the Rishonim. Now, the Bach does say you should be choshish for the Urayim, because it's not just the Urayim. The Maskana, the Mordechai is like the Urayim. The Gosha Idura is like the Urayim in the name of the Smak. Sefer Atum is like the Urayim. And the Shach does bring down the Bach. Again, this is talking about a vestis kavua. Not sure what the Rambam would say by El Nabeinun is. So the Shach is Machmir, the Bach is Machmir. However, the Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkata, and Yotes says that the Achronim say we don't paskin like this Chumrah of the Bach, and we assume that she could do a bdika afterwards. So we follow the middle view. The Rambam is the most Machmir view on the Bach. They say that if you didn't do a bdika on the Vesas or immediately after the Vesas, she's a Surah. The most Meikle view is the Rambam, that you don't even, if you didn't do the bdika on the Vesas, you're Mutaris immediately. And then we paskin like the middle view of the Rashba, which is that you have to do bdika, but the bdika works afterwards. So what about Vesa Sheinu Kavua? Do you need to do bdikos on the Vesa Sheinu Kavua at all, even l'chatchila? So the Beis Yosef writes that he thinks that according to the Rashba, you do not. Though he acknowledges the Rashba doesn't say so explicitly. He says, which is an interesting lashon because even in kavua it's deraisa, it's derabanan. But on the other side, aval im yesh lavases sheinu kavua, behu lefachos mishloshim yom, ein atzricha bedika biyom havases hazeh. So it says the Beis Yosef that lefi the Rashba, ein atzricha bedika. Good. How did the Beis Yosef know that? The Rashba didn't say she doesn't need to do bdika even l'chatchila. How did the Beis Yosef know that the Rashba says that even l'chatchila you don't need to do bdika? Maybe because he didn't say so. Or maybe because this follows sort of the logic that we said for the Rashba before. In other words, according to the Rashba, we said before, why did the Rashba reject the Rambam? Right? Remember, by Vesas Kavua, the Rambam says do Bedika during, and if you didn't do Bedika during, then you don't have to do it afterwards. Right? So maybe Vesas Sheinu Kavua for the Rashba is like Vesas Kavua for the Rambam. Had the Beis Yosef know that you don't even have to do it L'chatchila for Vesas Sheinu Kavua? So based on what we were saying before, the pshat is that the Rashba thinks the reason why you need to do Bedika during the Vesas for Vesas Kavua is because we're choshish that there was dam. So if that's the pshat, then you'd have to do it afterwards. And the fact that the Rashba says you don't have to do it afterwards shows me that there's no reason to do it during either, even l'chatchila. Because the Rashba thinks if there's a chshash, there's a chshash. If there's no chshash, there's no chshash. What's the point of do it during? Right, he doesn't accept that notion that the Rambam has that you should do it during l'chatchila, but afterwards you don't have to. So therefore, once the Rashba tells me that you don't have to, if the Vesa Sheinu Kavua is passed, you don't have to do a bedika. So that's as good as saying you don't have to do bedika even during. So that's the view of the Beis Yosef. Fine. So if you take a look at the Badei Shulchan over here, Sifkatan and Ches, the Tosa Shlomim also, Sifkatan, Simin Kuf Peites, Sifkatan Mem Aleph, they say, you know what? Actually, for Vesas Sheinu Kavua, you do have to do Bedika L'chatchila, sort of like the Rambam for Vesas Kavua. And they say, you know what? Maybe even the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch sounds that way. Because the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, and you know, you could see where they're coming from, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, right, Shar Nashim. So first he quotes the two shitos, right? And then he says, if she didn't do a bedika, she's okay. So the mashmos is that if she didn't do a bedika, she's okay. But it sounds like maybe she should do a bedika. And you have the same diak. You could make in Kuf Pei Tes Sif Dalad, just read you the lesson over there as well, right? The lesson is, Od Yishchol Ben Kavato Shospamim Lo Kavato Shospamim Shakavua Afalbisha Avra Onaso Velo Yergisha Sura L'Shamish Ad Shetivdo V'Tim Zitora, right? Like the Rashba, Shalok Kavato Shospamim V'Megia Zman V'Ases Veloy Badka Veloy Rasa Kevan Shavra Onaso Mutaras. So what does he say? If she didn't do a bedika during her vesesh, enu kavua, and the vesesh passed, she doesn't have to do a vesesh now, a bedika now. So that sort of sounds like, but she should do a bedika l'chatchila. So therefore, these achronim say that l'chatchila for vesesh enu kavua, she should do a bedika. Now, it's a very difficult diuk, because you know yilma tassam and amifurish. The Lashon and the Shulchan Aruch could go both ways, even if you say it's like a little more note to that way. But in the Beis Yosef, he writes Behedya that there's no inyan to do a bedika l'chatchila during Rav Asa Shein or Kavua. So, like to say it was Choser when there's no, I mean, it's not clear in any way. But the truth is, if you look at the body of Shulchan, he sort of acknowledges this point, and he acknowledges that really. In the Rishonim, you don't have a basis for this idea of doing the bedika for Vesa Sheinu Kavua L'chatchila. And in the Beis Yosef, you don't really have a chiluk. But Kedarka B'Kodesh, he still thinks you should be Machmir. L'chatchila, at least. Even his moda that it's a shvacha L'chatchila, meaning to say if there's a reason that you don't want to do a bedika, then you shouldn't. But Rabbi Willick says, no, you know, we could pass like the Beis Yosef, and there's no need for her to do a bedika l'chatchila during her vesesh she'eino kavua. The Pesachei Tshuva points out, Sifkan Chathalef, that vesesh she'eino kavua, vesesh aguf, might be a little more chamor. Maybe she would be asura, ad shetivdo. We'll talk more about vesesh aguf a little later. The Taz more or less makes this point in Kuf Petas Sif. Let me just clarify that what we're talking about. Let's say Vesaguf is like sneezing. We don't mean like sneezing a couple times, sneezing twice, sneezing five times. We mean like a sneezing spell that she never has other times, except when she has associated with her period. That's where you have this potential for Vesaguf, and that's where maybe we're machmir, eno kavua to require a bedika, even bediavet. Sort of interesting ha'ara. I'll just close with this because we're out of time. We mentioned before that ona beinunis is treated like a ves kavua for this din, which means again that she should do a bedika l'chatchila during ona beinunis, and if she didn't, then she's a sura until she does the bedika. So as we said, that's what the Rashba writes. And if you look at the Beis Yosef, he writes, v'kach mevor b'divrei Rabbeinu b'rosh simen zeh. So it's mevor in that way in the Torah. It's a little interesting, because the Torah didn't say this at all. Where did he see this in the Torah? So the Torah says like this, rov hanashim yesh len vases, vestos liros bizman yadua, kol achas lefizmana the stam vesas mishloshim yom lishloshim yom. So what is the Torah teaching us? Like the Metzias? What's the point of saying it? So the Beis Yosef seems to have understood that he's telling me by this formulation that ona beinunis is dino kevesas kavua, namely, she's a surah ad shetivdo. Okay, so we'll stop here. What we need to start with next time is how many bedikos do you need to do? Either if it's a ves she'eino kavua, if you all have a shulchan, or more relevant for us, by veses, either kavua or ona beinunis. How many bedikos do you need to do during l'chatchila, at least during her veses? So we'll be, Be'ezus Hashem, start with that next time. Okay.